many times what goes on in the seminary classroom seems quite well relevant. And even though we speak in generalities and platitudes about what our Christian faith demands, we get very few practical suggestions in regards to what we can do as ministers and as Christians in regards to work in alleviating some of the evils that go on in our society. Therefore, the Ethics Committee of the SCC sees as a part of its purpose to invite speakers to this campus who can give us some practical pointers and insights as we seek to implement our Christian faith. Mr. Stephen J. Maddock is our speaker today. He's a professor at Shaw University, and he's president of the organization in Raleigh known as HOME, Housing Opportunities Made Equal. It's a young organization about a year old, and it's made up of people from all walks of life who are concerned about equal housing opportunities in Raleigh. As I found out this morning, Mr. Maddock will speak for about 30 minutes. And at that time, those of you who wish to leave or have to leave may do so. The remaining 30 minutes shall be used for discussion. Mr. Maddox, welcome to our campus.
Thank you very much. I'd like to begin today simply by relating to you a few of my experiences here in actually in the city of Raleigh, but Wake County, which we're all located. Experiences that I've had in 4 years in the South, in Raleigh, experiences that I've had as a white American coming to the South from the North. And I relate these because I think very useful in the context of what we face today in the area of race relations, particularly in the area of fair housing, which is one of my major concerns. First experience I'd like to relate is one that you all may know about. This fall, middle of September, a black family moved to Raleigh from Charlotte. He and his wife were to become the drama faculty at Shaw University. They moved into an all-white neighborhood, unknown to them, actually. They thought that it was a neighborhood in which there were some black families, at least perhaps one in the next block. And they found the following morning, after their arrival, that their property was ringed with no trespassing signs. And they were puzzled. Well, later in the afternoon, they had no visitors during the day except a gas man, a telephone man, an electrical man to connect their utilities. But in the afternoon, when the children began coming home from school, they began to notice that a knot of children gathered out in front of the house and started to make remarks. They began hurling insults. And when this man went out to see what was going on, then he began to hear these insults. Well, later, either that day or the following day, he discovered that an effigy was hung six houses or five houses down on the corner. An effigy hung nicely under a street light so you could see it at night. And it was in pure or plain sight of the front yard of this gentleman. Well, we in the HOME organization didn't find out about this experience that Mr. Horace Capel was having until he'd been there 2 days. And I got a call 10:30 at night from one of my friends who said, "We've got a problem on our hands." One of your associates at Shaw University, a man I'd never met up to that time, is confined to his house, and his neighbors are marching around in front and through the yard and telling them they're going to kill him if he comes out or if he steps off his property. Well, perhaps you've read about what ensued. It's been in the public media a bit. We had a meeting about a month ago in Raleigh in which Mr. Capel related his experiences. But suffice to say that we went over there, about three of us, that same evening. And we never met these people before, but they were frightened, as you can imagine, confined to their house. And Mrs. Capel was really in a great state of despair. This was on a Thursday evening. Well, this thing kept going until the following Monday. I mean, it kept escalating. And by Sunday, there was a confrontation out on the street. And one of our members, who was white, was stoned as he attempted to walk that street. Well, by Monday, the mayor's community relations committee finally had a meeting in Raleigh to discuss this situation. And after that, the really overt harassment ceased. But the Capels were never treated as real neighbors in that neighborhood for the month that they lived there after that. They weren't even treated as many of us are treated in our neighborhoods, essentially left alone, or your neighbors wave to you, or something like that. Well, that's one very blatant experience in Raleigh. Now I'd like to talk about a few less blatant experiences. One afternoon, I had the opportunity to work with a group of visiting black musicians who'd come to the Shaw campus that we'd invited for the course that in which I teach, in an interdisciplinary course in black identity. And we had two musicians who wanted a room for a couple of hours. They'd come from New York that morning. They were going back that evening. They'd been up since about 4 a.m., and it was about 4 p.m. in the afternoon. They had a short concert schedule, and they were leaving on a 9 o'clock plane. That happened to be the weekend that the state fair was on, and we were informed that, you know, the Sir Walter had no rooms. The Golden Eagle Motel nearby, which we often deal with, did not. So we got in my car and started south and stopped at a motel which had a big vacancy sign up. And as we walked in, four of us, two white, two black, we hadn't gotten across the lobby or the little office before the woman said, "We haven't any rooms." And I was surprised at that because I've walked into many motels in my business and vacation days, and I've never been greeted that way as I walked into a motel. Usually you stand in line and they will politely say, "We don't have any rooms." So I said, "What about the no vacancy sign?" She said, the woman behind the counter said, "But obviously, that no is broken, can't you see?" Well, I couldn't see that. As I recall, the next day I noticed that the no was working perfectly well. Well, I wanted to protest that, but my other friend said, "Come on, let's go." The black the two black people that were with us said this. Because I'm sure that they've had this experience time and time again. Experiences like this. But I hadn't had that experience. Not that kind of experience. And then this fall we had four students, more than four, that couldn't find housing, male students at Shaw University. Unlike your campus, which I guess is unique in that you have a great deal of space, we do not at Shaw. We're making great strides, but we still have very inadequate dormitory facilities. Four of these boys said that, yes, they were interested in an apartment, and I told them about the project that Home has in attempting to get these apartment complexes desegregated, open to any person that has the wherewithal to rent at them. And we called ahead to several, but one in particular said, I called them, yes, we will take students, yes, four students in an apartment would be fine, yes, we have immediate occupancy, and just come on over. So we came over, except I didn't go in, the four boys did. Well, they were informed that there were no apartments available, would not be until a month from then. They were not given any other overt brush-offs, but they were there a while and shown the apartment, the model apartment. But I think that their anxiety to find something that evening, they'd been living for a week in the basement of the gymnasium at Shaw University, was just so evident to the person doing the renting that it was obvious that if a month's delay were indicated, there'd be no further callback from this group of boys. The following day, we asked a group of four students from North Carolina State University, all white, to go out there. They did. They could have gotten an apartment that afternoon if they'd wanted it. They were asked if, I think only two of them went, they were asked if they had any Negro roommates. No, we don't. And the woman proceeded to tell of this experience that she'd had the previous day about this so-and-so who had called up ahead of time and then sent four Negroes out. And then she got a little bolder and subverted the word Negro to the common usage it's given by many. But we didn't proceed any further with that case because the four boys found another place to stay. But what we would have done if they'd wanted to get that apartment was go to the manager of the apartments and say, this is the situation. You are doing something illegal here. Will you let the four students from Shaw have the apartment? Or are we going to have to talk about this situation in the courts? And one more experience. I talked with the Board of Realtors, several of us from the Home organization, last summer. And we asked them if their membership were open to anybody. More specifically, is your membership open to a black realtor? Well, we were informed that actually, if you're black, you're not even considered a realtor. You're called a real estate broker because you must be a member of the Board of Realtors to be a realtor, and that there were no black realtors in Raleigh. Well, we talked about whether membership was open. Yes, it is, but we've never had any applications from any black real estate brokers. Well, I asked them, do you make any effort to get such people in your membership? No, we never solicit applications of any sort, and we have no intention of soliciting an application from anybody. So I asked the question, in this day and age where we have this terrible crisis, and I believe it is a crisis in this country, are you not interested in the welfare of the city of Raleigh, the state of North Carolina, the country, the United States of America, to actually go out and try and build a biracial board of realtors and one in which we can work cooperatively together? They said no. If these gentlemen apply and they meet the qualifications, we will accept them. And then another incident at that meeting, we said, we know a family who have $10,000 cash that they want to put down on a house. And they've been having a terrible time getting to see houses that they would like. Would you be at all interested? And we were talking with the president and vice president of the Board of Realtors, both of whom are realtors and both of whom are either sole owners or partners in real estate companies. If they'd be at all interested in having this gentleman's name, and they said no. Now, any of you who are here, who are white, if you go to any realtor in the city of Raleigh and tell them that you have $10,000 and you want to buy a house, you're going to be hounded to death. They're going to want to know what your name is, your phone number, what are you interested in. You're not going to get rid of them with one phone call. They'll be calling you back and back, because most people looking for houses don't even have half that cash available, or a quarter of it. All right, well, these are just some impressions, and I've rambled on a bit. But I think that they're instructive of the situation that we have in Raleigh and in the state of North Carolina, if not the entire country. Well, there are some activities going on that I think are of interest in the city of Raleigh. And there are activities that are going on as basic attempts to work within the white community. I want to emphasize this aspect. We hear increasingly the statement from it starts from the black militants, but we hear that increasingly from all black people. Work in your own community. If you're white, work in your own community. There are lots of things that you can do. There are attitudes that have to be worked on, or that can be worked on. And so I think there are a few things going on in Raleigh that are efforts to work in the white community. The first of which is the organization that I'm president of, present time, the HOMA organization, Housing Opportunities Made Equal. Now, our activity in HOMA is an attempt to assist black buyers who would like to buy outside of the traditional black neighborhood or black community, and also it is our hope and our efforts to get the Board of Realtors to work with these people too. As I mentioned a moment ago, the white realtor, most white realtors today, will take a black family to look at a house if such a family comes to them and specifies they would like to see this house, this or that house. But unlike the response that a white family will get. Usually, the black family will be shown the house, perhaps given the card of the realtor, and then said, well, if you're interested in this house, let me know. Thank you very much, and they depart. Experience that many white buyers have, I wouldn't say everybody, is that once the first house is looked at, the realtor says, well, now we have another 20 listings. Would you like to see any of these? We're in multiple listing, which means we have about 50 or 75 listings that we can look at. Would you like me to go through the multiple listing book and see some houses, or look, pick out some houses that I think you might be interested in from what you've told me, or not? And we would like very much to think that in the future, in the not-so-distant future, that a black family who goes to a white real estate agent will get the same type of treatment. We assist black buyers in this way. If a family comes, calls us or notifies us that they're interested in possibly buying a house outside of the black community, or any house really, we keep a list of houses that we know about on which will be sold on an open basis. Very often these are houses that are not listed by a realtor, the for sale by owner category. We get these by calling the for sale by owner advertisements in the paper. And then we keep the list of prospective black buyers, and one individual keeps these records and then attempts to match up buyers and sellers. Now, I think an interesting point here, actually what happens is we never have enough houses. We normally have between 5 and 8, possibly 10 houses at a time. And we very often have no more than maybe 3 prospective buyers. Well, we're short of houses under that situation. We should have about 30 or 40 houses for 3 or 4 buyers. Because those of you who have house hunted know that you look at a great many houses usually before you settle on one. And one of the tragedies of the, I think, of the situation that some black families find themselves in is that they buy some of these, they have bought in some communities, and I think in one instance here in Raleigh, a house in a white neighborhood without ever really getting a look. And in the other houses in white neighborhoods, or really getting a close look at the house which they purchased. Because they can't walk in under the circumstances that the white buyer does and look it all over and consider it and deliberate. Very often there's so much pressure on this situation that they will buy almost on instant sight. Another major activity that Home is engaged in is an attempt to get church and civic groups to debate open housing and hopefully to endorse the principle of open housing. We do this, one way we do this is to, we've distributed pledge cards, a freedom of residence pledge, a small card in which we ask an individual sign this statement. We believe that equality of opportunity is one of the fundamental rights of American democracy. We believe that in the area of housing, equality of opportunity means the right to rent, buy, or build homes according to one's free choice and financial means. We will therefore welcome neighbors of any race, creed, or national origin to our neighborhood. Now, we've distributed these essentially to our friends. We have not made any attempt to distribute them to the public at large. We were asked this by the Board of Realtors. We told them we had approximately 450 of these cards last summer were now about 525. And they said, out of how many attempts? And we said, out of about the same number of attempts, because we have passed them out at meetings, let people take them and turn them in to us. These cards then are put on the map, and when a prospective black family looks at a house in a neighborhood, we can say, well, there are some friendly people, friendly in the area of open housing in this neighborhood, and we can use these pledge cards to go back and locate these individuals. At some later date, we thought we might use this as a newspaper advertisement, in such as the last spring in the Raleigh News and Observer, the big ad for the Martin Luther King was signed by some list of individuals. We thought we might someday do this. So we have an opportunity for you to, if one wants to sign this card, you don't have to make it public. We have a statement at the bottom. You may use our name along with others in making this pledge public. Please initial. If you don't initial that, we wouldn't use your name. We wouldn't use the individual's name on any public advertisement. I think another activity that, although it's going on essentially in the black community, doesn't necessarily have to, and I think it's something that predominantly white groups or white groups could debate, discuss, and endorse. And this is the Turnkey 3 housing project that's just begun in Raleigh. Turnkey 3 is a project whereby people are allowed to buy their own houses. Low-income families from incomes of 3,000 to 6,000 families will be able, in some 15 to 17 years, actually own their own homes. And this is a federally sponsored program, but it's run through the public housing authorities of the individual cities. And so the Raleigh Public Housing Authority is the organization which is in charge of this turnkey project. But the decisions about turnkey are made by initially an interim committee, mainly poor people. This committee then is replaced by homeowners in the development, and they become a self-governing organization. Another project that's going on is the Rich Housing Project, the Raleigh Inner Church Housing Project. This is one which five churches, three black, two white churches, have engaged in a rent supplement housing project. And occupancy hopefully will begin this month on that project. Well, these are just a few things, and they're all in the area of housing that are going on. Now, what could be done? What could be done in this area? What could be done in the white community? Well, I think I've got three suggestions. Briefly, they are: the poor white people could be organized, just as the Southside People's Organization has organized the poor black people of the South Side of Raleigh. This is one of the tragic things, I think, about what's happening in this area of poor people's campaigns. There are more poor white people in this country than there are poor black people, and yet these poor people's organizations are predominantly black organizations today. Well, I think that what these organizations have done could well be looked at by the white community, and the poor white groups could be worked with. The second idea is one which our president-elect has talked about, but I'm thinking in a little different scale than he's mentioned. That is raising capital for nominal investment in black businesses. Seems to me the white community could actually raise capital to invest in small black businesses. I don't see why money has to be raised necessarily for charitable purposes always, that could be raised for an investment or even donated for the beginning capital in small business enterprises in the black community. And third, I think this is a very important idea. At least it's important to me. I think that we ought to attempt to present city council and city school board, county school board, county commissioner, or county supervisors. I'm sorry, county commissioners, what we call them here. I think we ought to present candidates to the public who will discuss and debate the issues and will represent all the people. I have never, in my short life and number of places that I've lived in a community in which elections so totally evaded the issues. We don't hear anything about issues. We're going to have a city council election this spring. We're going to have a city school board election. Now, are we going to hear anything about the issues? The issues of Raleigh, the issues in the state and the nation? Well, if it's like past campaigns, I don't think we will. And so basically these are, I guess, popularity contests. I'd like to suggest that some candidates who are willing to get on the hustings and talk about the problems are sorely needed. Well, I want to close here because we want to not hold you any longer. I think that the one major comment I have is that we can spend the energy of the white community in the white community. Stop telling the black community what they should do. Everybody's got an instant solution for the problems of the black community. And really the problems are out in the white community. We've attempted to talk about the home organization in churches. We haven't been in a single Baptist church in Raleigh. We haven't been in a Methodist church yet. We've been in Jewish church, temple, Catholic church, Unitarians, but we haven't been in the major denominations, and that concerns me. And I think also we could discontinue the old degrading techniques that are used in this area. An example is, this fall I heard about a rummage sale that was going to be conducted by a white church in the black community. Now, white church members were urged to get together things that they couldn't use, take them down to the OEO Center, Chavis Heights, and there was going to be a rummage sale. And the black folks could come in and buy those things we white folks didn't need, couldn't use, or were worn out, I guess. And they were going to use this money for their social committee. Well, I was very happy to hear that plan was changed before it was executed, and that the church members brought their stuff to a sale at their own church, and they sold it back to themselves and donated what wasn't sold to charitable purposes. But that's one of the, it's just an example, but that's the sort of thing that we've been doing. Well, these are just a few thoughts and comments. I thank you very much.
Anyway. those that want to stay for the final 30 minutes of the discussion can move down here to the front. We'll have a sort of dialogue session down here.
Step down here and we can get closer to everybody. There's not as much about that.